2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. And let's pray this evening. Father, we're thankful for our church. As we just heard, Lord, souls are being saved in this ministry here. You are being glorified. And we're thankful for a church that preaches thy word. And as we're about to hear in a moment, Lord, it's an opportunity for us to have our life changed, to have decisions made that will draw us closer to you. I pray, dear God, that we would put aside any selfish thoughts that we may have in our minds and things that would occupy our mind and our heart and take away from the preaching of thy word. But I pray, dear God, that we'll be sensitive to what you have for us tonight in this decision time. And I pray that we understand that. Bless this preaching time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by his grace I am redeemed. And only his tender mercies could reach beyond my weakness to my needs. And now I seek no greater honor, but just to know him more, and to count my gains as losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. My source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
All right, thank you for that. By the way, I forgot to mention they do. I think they're still selling the ceviche. I didn't get the announcement with all the funny stuff on there, but don't be shellfish, okay? Brother Chim read the verses for us tonight. They're very well known verses, and we're going to look through them tonight. You know, history does not remember those who don't finish strong. About 20 years ago, the Seattle Mariners won in baseball. They won the most games in a season any other team ever has, even to this day. But nobody remembers them because they flamed out in the playoffs. They didn't win. Okay? It's not how strong we finish. It's not how strong we start. It's how do we finish? If I mention the name to you, if you know anything about American history, of Benedict Arnold, what thought comes to mind? Traitor. Do you understand that Benedict Arnold was a general in the Revolutionary War for our side, and there were several battles that he won for us before he traded that if he did not win those battles, we would not have won the Revolutionary War. He was a very influential and important member of our country obtaining our freedom, but yet we don't think very kindly to him in history because he didn't finish. He traded on his own country. While it is sad when people do things like that, it's even sadder that really the majority of Christians will not finish their Christian life very strong. It's just a sad fact of life. And that is not where God wants us to be. Excuse me. The letters to Timothy, which were read, Brother Chim read 2 Timothy, as well as to Titus, those are called the pastoral epistles. Those were written to Titus and Timothy, who were pastors. Paul also had a set of epistles he wrote, which were the prison epistles. But these ones were written to, this one particular was written to Timothy. Now, it was written while Paul was in prison towards the end of his imprisonment in Rome and really towards the very end of his life. In other words, when Paul is writing this to Timothy, he is at the very end. His martyrdom is just right around the corner. And he knows it. He sees the writing on the wall. And he writes to Timothy. At this point, Paul's companions have bailed out on him. It was a very dark hour for him. Only Luke was really there to assist him. Those that were there at times to help him left for whatever reason. And yet when he writes this towards the end of his life, looking back, his concern is not for himself. His concern was for Timothy, and that Timothy continued to do the work that God had called him to do and continue to fulfill God's will for his life. See, he was going to face some things. Serving God back in that day, in the biblical day, was not an easy task. You say, well, all of Jesus' disciples, except for Judas, who he messed himself up, but the 11 of them, really, they all faced a martyr's death and faced persecution. And Timothy was living in this time. And so he wants Timothy to understand that even in the face of what he is going to, what's going to come at him, that he continue and go strong and finish what he was supposed to do. Paul, as he's talking here, there's a hint of disappointment in his voice. If you could hear him speak this, you would sense the disappointment in his voice because of those who were with him, but they didn't finish serving the Lord. And fact of the matter is, bailed out on him. But in spite of that, Paul summoned the strength to continue to go on. If your Bibles are still open to 2 Timothy 4, look at verse 16. I like these verses. Verse 16 and 17, Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Think of the companions that were with Paul, and they bailed out on him, and Paul says, they all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now, that's very kind. I would have probably prayed, Lord, give them what they deserve, okay? But that's me, and I haven't written any books of scripture, and that's probably why. But Paul's like, Lord, don't lay that to their charge. But I like verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He said, despite the fact that everybody else bailed out, God was here, God stayed with me, and he did not forsake me. Now, where are we going with this? Paul is using his life as an example for Timothy. He wants Timothy to be a finisher. And if we have the relationship with God, and if Timothy were to have the relationship with God that Paul had, he would be able to be faithful to the end. By the way, that's a goal for each and every one of us. Sometimes we get, I get irritated. I gotta be careful. I can't listen to too many political things or stuff like that because my blood boils. Okay, I just kind of get irritated. The kids had the Olympics on the other day, and I wasn't even out there for a couple minutes, Brother Chim, and they're taking this whole North Korea, her sister there thing to kind of just slam Trump. Everything's political. Everything's junk. It's all garbage. And if we're not careful, we get so caught up in what's going on in this world that we can get fatalistic about what can happen that's good. And the fact that it's just hard to stand for God. We'll just hang on till the end. Man, we're hanging on to nothing. We don't need to hang on. Let's propel. Let's be excited. Let's do what God wants us to do. We don't have to be fatalistic. In these verses we read, verses 1 to 10, we find a couple of things. We find, first of all, the secrets as to why Paul could finish. He tells us about it. Then he contrasts that with an individual who did not finish, and that would be Titus. And then he gives a challenge to an individual who would need to make the choice that he was going to finish. That is Timothy. And so tonight I want to look at all three of them to help us in this thought. Are we going to be finishers? When we get to the end of our life, will we be able to say, I was not perfect? Things didn't always go right, but I can look at my life and say to the best of my ability, even through the tough times, I stayed faithful to God and I made it to the end of my life serving Him. By the way, that's a good goal. By the way, that should be the only goal. All the other stuff that's wrapped into what God wants you to do has to be around that one goal. I'm going to finish what God wants me to finish. So let me ask you three questions. First of all, will we be Paul? Will we be Paul? Paul is the example that's set forth in the chapter here. Paul is not proud in how he sets himself forth, but Paul, when he gets to the end of his life and he got started in Christianity a little bit late, he could say, I finished. Paul didn't get as many years serving God as some of them did because he did get a later start. But let me just tell you something. The years that he had, he stuck with it and he accomplished quite a bit. Paul, it is sad how many who meet Christ later in life sometimes struggle to serve him for the rest of their lives. Satan sometimes throws their past at him. And you don't have much time left. And so, just kind of you're saved and you're there and let's be satisfied with that. But that's not God's way. Paul shows us in this verses how we can stay strong. How can we be like Paul? Well, first of all, his fight was fought. He said, I have fought a good fight. Sometimes we have in our movement a little bit guys that want to be fighters and we fight the wrong things. Sometimes we fight just to fight. It's like we're looking for things to fight. Listen, like Joseph said, there's too many people that need to be reached. There's too much things that have to happen for us to fight non-essential fights. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I just want to reach people for the Lord and go forward, get the word out. Now, if someone comes taking swings, I'll swing back. Okay, but we're not here to fight fights that are worthless. We're here to fight spiritual fights. He said it was a good fight. I have fought a good fight. In other words, being a Christian and make it to the end, there are going to be some battles. There are going to be some battles we just have to fight. Sometimes we have to fight ourselves. We live in this flesh, and sometimes this flesh wants to push us to make some wrong directions and make some bad choices and do the wrong thing. We have to stand up sometimes and say, I am not going to go the way of my flesh. And it's amazing how the flesh jumps at you when things are going well. I mean, you got up in the morning and you read your Bible and it was good. And you had a cup of coffee and it was even better. And man, you're ready to tackle the world today. You're going to be a witness for Jesus, and you're going to do everything you can, and you're going to have a great day. And then somebody does something stupid. They cut you off on the freeway. Or you're driving, and I've had this happen, not very often, Brother Chim, but, you know, they don't like the way you're driving, and they wave at you, but only one finger is up. Okay, they give you that kind of thing. It's like, I want to say, really? Well, sometimes I do, okay, but, you know, I was having a good day. You go to work, and something off the wall is happening, and it's always right there in front of your face. Listen, fight the good fight. Don't let your flesh get the best of you. And when he does rear its head and it starts to get the best of you, pull back and start doing the things you're supposed to do. But you have to fight your flesh. It's always there. It's always pushing you towards the wrong, even when you want to do the right. And we have to make sure we're fighting it. We got to fight the wrong influences, and they're everywhere. I mean, you can't talk to somebody, you know, let them know you're a Christian. They're going to give you their opinion about some nonsense, you know, about this, that, or the other. You can't even turn on the radio and listen to, I don't listen to the news, to be honest with you. You got to be very careful because it's always from a negative slant. Everything's bad. Listen, let's be very, very careful. Even the entertainment you have, you allow yourself to be influenced by nonsense. I'll say it again. We allow ourselves to be influenced by nonsense. Okay? It used to just be, you watch Leave It to Beaver, and they're teaching good moral things. I mean, look, Dad wore a suit and tie to dinner. I don't wear a suit and tie to dinner. No one eats with you, that's why. Okay? And, you know, Mom and Dad were right, and if Beaver did something wrong, it's like, you know, man, Beaver, you got to get your act together. Come on. They taught halfway decent principles. You know, Andy Griffith's show. I mean, he spanked his kid. He disciplined him. He taught him, don't lie. Be right. Is that what's going on today? They're not teaching that. They're teaching garbage. You know, Disney's throwing this garbage out now, and I'm going right back to what I said. I wasn't going to be negative, but this stuff now, we want to put these shows out where they have now transgendered children. You know, by the way, and this isn't even the message, but the Spirit's leading. No one's born that way. They're recruited. That's what it's all about. They're trying to recruit them to this perversion. But we got to be careful that we don't let that influence us. Well, you know, it's not that. After all, if he feels like he's a boy, well, he should feel like he's a boy, okay? If she feels like she's a boy, she's still a girl. Now I'm confusing myself. I've been listening to that stuff too much. By the way, where is that stupidity going to end? A guy just got arrested a few weeks ago for molesting children. You know what he said? Well, that's not molesting because, after all, I'm a 9-year-old trapped in a 31-year-old body. Now, by the way, if I can say I'm a girl trapped in a man's body, why can't he say that? They're both equally wrong. But anyhow, back to our regularly scheduled message. What are we being influenced by? We have to be careful what influences us because we start to look at God's word a little bit different. Got to be very careful. You know, these kids are being educated in hell holes. And then we get up and say something. It's like, well, you know, you're the old school, you know, Brother Myers. You were in school in the 70s. We've evolved since then. No, we've de-evolved. We're going backwards. Okay, we're not evolving. We're getting worse. But be careful. We have to fight those influences. And it assaults our mind. Sometimes it's a spiritual battle. By the way, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Understand that. Our battle is not with people. Now, sometimes people get up and say things and do things, and we have to do whatever we have to do to be careful. But that's not our enemy. Our enemy is Satan, and he uses people and things to try to get us off track so we fight the wrong enemy. But ultimately, it's a spiritual battle. We're fighting Satan. But Paul said he was able to stay true because he fought his fight. Second of all, he finished his course. I have finished my course. Wouldn't that be something good to say when we get to the end of my life? You know what? God laid out a path for me and I was able to follow it. That's a good goal. Well, you know, I want to be a big shot. I want to be this and that. Good for you. Well, I want to do that. Good for you. You know what I want to be? I want to be on God's path. By the way, the path in my life and the path in your life, it'll be a path. It's like, really? You'll look at your life 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now and say, how did I get here? You just follow God's path every day. You can only travel so far in one day. Well, travel where God wants you to travel tomorrow. And then get up on Tuesday and travel where God wants you to travel on Tuesday. Be here for soul winning at 7. And then travel on Wednesday. And then travel on Thursday and be here at 7. Okay? But you follow the path each and every day. And a year from now, you're going to look back and say, I'm right where God wants me to be. Paul's course kind of was here and there. But Paul can look back and say, I finished my course. God put the course in front of me. And then he says, I have kept the faith. His faith was firm. Kept means to guard, to observe. That was the secret to him finishing. He firmly believed everything God said, and he made it a part of his life. He guarded it with his life. By the way, he was persecuted for that faith that he remained firm in. He wasn't just like, I believed it, and there you go. No, he was persecuted. Read it, I think it was in Corinthians, where he talks about all the times he was beat, left for dead. Wow, it cost him something, but you know what he said? I kept it, in spite of all of that. He followed God's truth with every ounce of his being. You know, it's a rebuke to us, and I include myself, when we see all that the people in the Bible went through and then we struggled. We can't even get to church because it's Super Bowl Sunday, you know, or some little small, you know, my dog has the sniffles. You know, one person said, I won't be at church. My dog broke his leg. I'm like, okay, well, unless you're going to stay at home and heal it, I don't see why you need to stay home. I mean, it's in a cast, which that's probably a waste of money, but if you love the dog, that's fine. It's like, okay, dog can't sit at home by himself and heal? Okay, but we just find reasons to miss. You know, it's like somebody preached here years ago and said, you know, it's going to be a little bit embarrassing for us when we get to heaven and meet all these martyrs. We're going to look at them and say, you know, what happened to you? You know, well, I wouldn't recant my faith and they burned me at the stake. And they'll look at us and say, how'd you get here? We're going to say, cheeseburgers. I mean, cholesterol, right? Okay? Now that's the world in which we live, but you know, I think we're going to be a little ashamed that, you know, some of the things that we think are hard to do aren't as hard as they really should be. But he had a firm faith. By the way, that's called conviction. When we're firm with our faith, we say, I'm following it regardless of anybody, anything, anyone, because God says it, and we remain. So that was Paul. Now, will we be a Paul, or secondly, will we be a Demas? Now, if you know your Bibles at all, excuse me, the name Demas doesn't bring up good connotation. Now, he's not quite there with Judas, but he's kind of there with Lot, maybe just a notch below Lot. When we think of Demas, we think of somebody who left the faith, who quit serving God. By the way, that happens. What caused him? Well, he forsook his friends. He forsook his friends. For Demas, verse 10, hath forsaken me. You have to understand something. Whenever somebody backs off of serving God or they quit, they're not quitting, Brother Chim, they're forsaking somebody. Now, we understand that when someone does that, and if I were to do it, if you were to do it, we're forsaking the Lord. Oh, we're still saved if we've been truly saved. But we're no longer with him. We're no longer doing the things he wants us to do. We no longer have that relationship with him. But there's a deeper thing that also happens. He also said, for Demas hath forsaken who? Me. He forsook Paul. Do you understand that when we forsake the Lord, we're not just forsaking him, we're forsaking people. We're forsaking our friends in the church. The hardest thing about serving the Lord over the 20, we're coming up, we're almost coming up on 30 years. Actually, almost, we are. 30 years, wow, that's a long time. I was 2 when we started this church. But we're coming up on 30 years at this church. You know what the hardest thing in the 30 years is, Brother Chim? The people that have quit on God. My friends are those, I have my family, but my friends are really those in the church here. And when they leave, they're not just leaving the Lord, it's like we've lost a friend. Oh, they're still there, and I understand it, and I still love them, and we're here for them, but I have a hard, I'm not going to go, I mean, this is what I do. I'm going to spend my time with people that want to love the Lord or people that want to grow in the Lord, not people that have forsaken him. I only have so much time. And we've lost many good friends that they forsook the Lord. And so let's not forsake each other. And also, to think about it, we're forsaking the lost, the people we're supposed to reach. By the way, thank you for inviting people to church. I don't know who it is. Somebody in Uber is on fire. Okay, last week we had two people here that were invited by an Uber driver. And then I just met a lady this morning. I was leaving. She ran up and gave me her address, her card. And I met her and she said, oh, this is my third week here. I'm like, well, how'd you hear about the church? She's like, an Uber driver invited me. So we're getting rid of the bus routes. We're going to put a big sign on the bus that says Uber, right? And what we're going to do is we're going to make an app. We'll call it Goober. Everybody will say, I need a ride on Sunday, and we'll drive the bus around and pick them up. And no matter where they want to go, we'll just bring them to church. And they'll say, hey, that's not where I wanted to go. And it's like, but the ride is free. Okay, we'll even give you a donut and some coffee. There you go. But we have a responsibility to the lost. Who's going to reach them? Who's going to reach them? God uses us. Demas forsook Paul. He forsook the Lord. But think of the people that could have been influenced by him. They never would because he forsook them. Let's not forsake each other. And then his affection was very fickle. Why did he forsake? Having loved this present world. Let me say this as kindly as possible. People leave a church for many reasons, and they'll tell you the reasons, and they're just that, they're reasons. But in the vast majority of things, they leave this, regardless of the reason they give you, this is the real reason. Because if someone leaves our church, they're like, look, I just don't feel this church is for me, I want to serve God, and they go to another church of like faith and practice, have at it. I'm not against them. I think they left a really good church. But guess what? At least they're still serving God. But that's 1% of the time. 99% of the time they say that, they don't go to another church. Or they go to some liberal outfit that won't say a word about what's going on. They won't preach the truth of the Bible. They'll have some nonsense going on. So a church last week, it was Super Bowl Sunday. They put all their chairs in the back of the auditorium. They put a carpet out that looked like a football field. And they had some stupid little thing on there, and the pastor came out in his football jersey. It's like, listen, we ain't doing that. By the way, it was an abomination because he had a 49ers jersey on. That was an abomination. Look, the whole thing's a joke. Well, that sounds cute, you know. People think you're cool. Well, I want to be cool. Okay, we want to honor God. But this is really a lot of the times why people leave. Because they just want to get in the world. They just want something less. And by the way, I just want to follow the Bible. We're not just making stuff up to make stuff up. But at this point, why don't we just stick with the truth? And by the way, the world is very attractive. It really is to the flesh. But the payoff isn't very good. And so he got caught up in that. His affections switched. The only way we're ever going to recognize the garbage that's in this world is if we know the Word of God, which is His wisdom. Once we get in the Word of God, we can see stuff like, you know, hey, we've had people that come to our church and have come from other churches just say, there was just something about this thing. It was just, there was nothing spiritual about it. That's when people try to replace it. But the garbage of the world is not very helpful. And it may seem convenient and good at the time, but what is the payoff in the future? That's what we always have to look at. We're trying to be a finisher. We're trying to just, God, we're trying to follow you and get to the end of our life. And there's so much nonsense and noise that comes our way from the world, and we have to be very careful we don't allow it to trip us up. It's very easy to get caught up in that. And then he failed on his path. Look what he did. And is departed unto Thessalonica. Departed means to transfer and travel on one's journey. In other words, it's like a U-turn. It's like I was following God, now I'm transferring, I'm going some other direction. You see, when you follow the path of God, you're going to experience the things of God, the blessings of God. But when you fall on another path, you're going to experience other things. I mentioned many times, and it's not my, we were driving to Washington one time, and it's about 4 a.m, and I woke up, and I was very tired driving all night. And my wife was driving, and I wasn't really clear about, you know, I just assumed she knows the directions to get to where she lives. But I do most of the driving, and we were in Oregon. And she's in Washington, so I assumed she knew what road we were supposed to stay on. I fell asleep for a couple hours. I woke up, I looked around, and we were driving through the clouds. And I'm thinking, well, the only one way you drive through the clouds, you're driving in the mountain. And last time I remembered, the road to her family's house doesn't take us through the mountains. And so we had the other Suburban, the old Suburban, and we had just bought it, and it had OnStar. So I'm like, you know, it's brand new. We get free 6 months. I'm like, this is OnStar. How can I help you? I'm like, where are we? And it was pretty new. She goes, sir, I can't really see where you're at, where you are. I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't help. She said, well, let me ask you this. Where are you going? I'm like, I'm trying to get to the 94. That's the freeway. We're trying to get to the 94. She goes, I can get you there. And she got us there. We were only about an hour out of the way. My wife had, and it's tricky. There was one road, and she got deviated on the other. But I knew the difference because I know if we're on this road, I know what it looks like, and there's no clouds on this road. Okay? I know we're not in the mountains. This road took us where the mountains are. If you follow God, that's where the blessings are. That's where the good stuff is. And if you deviate your path, that's where the bad stuff is. Okay? And so we need to be very careful. Let's not be a Demas. Lastly, let me ask you, will you be a Timothy? Now, Paul was at the end of his life. He had already chosen the right path. Demas had forsaken. He had chosen the wrong path. But Timothy was still going. There was a chance he could still choose the wrong path. And so Paul gives him some admonitions. We see that in the beginning of the chapter. He gave him two admonitions. First of all, he told him, make sure you receive that which is right. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, I understand this is written to Timothy. He was a preacher, but if he was going to be a preacher and stay on the path and do the right thing, he had to receive the right truth, which was the scripture, the word of God. And by the way, if you and I are going to stay on the right path, if we're going to go the right direction, we need to receive the right truth also, even if we don't like what it says. By the way, if you like everything the Bible says, then you don't live in flesh. There are things you're reading, it's like, that just goes against my nature. You know, long-suffering, kind, compassionate. I ain't got time for that. Okay? I have to have time for that. That's a spiritual thing. It goes against your grain. But if we want to do what God wants us to do, we say, hey, that's what God wants. That's what I'm going to incorporate in my life. We have to receive that which is right. You know, well, that just goes against my grain. Like they used to say, well, turn around and go the other direction, and you'll be going with the grain. But we have to accept that which is right. The issue is always this. It's always a disconnect in our relationship with God and His Word. It's always that. Very, very simple. That is always the path down starts there. If you start going down, look, nobody starts heading down the wrong path and it's like, well, you know, I just spent an hour in my Bible today and I'm going to go out and do drugs. I have a hard time with that. You know? Unless you haven't spent time in God's Word for like 12 years and you just decided to jump in and thought that would solve everything. No, it's a daily thing. And if we would just get connected to His Word and not just reading it to check off a box, but saying, listen, I'm going to read it and I'm going to see what He says. And I'm going to be faithful to church and I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do. And I'm going to try to stay straight in that book. Listen, if we try that, that's a pretty good recipe to make it. And He's telling Timothy, do the right thing. We have to be committed. He tells us, look, you read, he said, reprove. Reprove means shows us where we're wrong. When you reprove somebody, what you're saying is, let me show you where you're wrong. That's reproving. Now, that's not our job. That's the Bible's job. But sometimes, you know, if someone is in our school and they're violating a rule in this rule book, we have to say, no, look, this is a rule. you can't do this. This is where you're wrong. You're not following the rules. When the Bible reproves us, we look at it and say, listen, this is where we're wrong in our life. And God's pretty good at showing that. Or it rebukes us. That tells us that we are wrong. That's a little, rebuke is like, let me just tell you something, buddy. You know, when you rebuke somebody, you think of getting in their face and just telling them, you're wrong. Okay, how many ever been rebuked? I remember in the early days of the church, Pastor Esposito and myself, we had church at 3 in the afternoon. We'd get done about 4 or 5. The ladies would go home after we dropped everybody off for church, and we would go out to eat every Sunday night. It was our routine. And we would sit down. What went right? What didn't go right? What can we do to make things better? We were a brand new church just getting off the ground. We did that probably the first 4 or 5 years, every Sunday night. And we were there, and there was a couple other guys that started coming along, and we were discussing some topic, and we were a little bit hot about it. You know, we were kind of in on the subject, and we're giving our thoughts about it. And I just told him what I thought about it. And he just very kindly looked at me and said, you got a bad attitude, and he turned away. And I'm like, how dare him say that? Now, he's right, I have a bad attitude, but how dare he say that? Okay? He didn't have, he's like, went on like, that's the end of the story. I'm like, yeah, I guess that is the end of the story. Oops. That's good for us sometimes. Sometimes God just needs to look at us and say, let me just make it really clear to you, you're wrong. Yeah. Okay? You got to get that thing right. It exhorts us. Now, God doesn't just leave it there, okay? It encourages us. It encourages us to do that which is right. And then it teaches us doctrine, which is telling us what is right. The problem is, if we're going to go forward, we got to be someone that receives that which is right. And then, secondly, if we're going to be like Timothy, we have to reject that which is wrong. Verse 3 and 4. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And let me just tell you something. We're there. We are there. Christianity is getting more heretical than it has ever been. In the guise of being cool. And the guise of trying to reach the world, man. We're there. They won't endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, what is lust? Desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what we're looking? We're looking for somebody that'll tell us something cute, tell us something funny, and they will never tell us that which is truth. We have something which we want to hear. Well, my pastor, you know, he's a great communicator. Goody, goody gumdrops. What's he communicating? Well, everything's just always good. It is all good. But sometimes if we're not doing right, we need to reprove and we need to rebuke. We don't need to be encouraged if we're going the wrong direction. And we need to reject that which is wrong in our lives and in our church. We're not going there. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Hearing stories they want to hear. Now we think of fables, we think of false doctrine, and that's part of it. But you know, there's a lot of fables going on in churches that call themselves Christian churches today. You're going to hear a lot of pop psychology. And you're going to hear a lot of cool. Now they're using secular music in the services. God help us. Okay? I like the hymns. I'm glad that the churches I went to in my life always use the hymns. Whenever we sing a hymn, most all of them, I know the words. And I'm glad I have that because sometimes I'm just thinking about it during the day or something will come. And those words, and they're good words. Okay? I don't want this nonsense. But what happened is we're no longer rejecting the wrong, which is the flip side of receiving the right, because we just don't like it. We don't want to be told. We want to have Jesus. You know, it's like what they say, you want to have your cake and eat it too, which what's the point of having cake if you can't eat it? I don't understand that saying. But what it is we want Jesus and we want what we want to do also at the same time. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is 100%. The world does the opposite of this. They don't receive the right and reject the wrong. They reject the right and they receive the wrong. Now, a couple things here and I'm done. This was the key to Jesus Christ and the power he had on this earth. Turn over to Hebrews. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter number 1, and we'll start in verse 8, and we'll read through verse 9. It says, but unto the Son he saith, I'll let you get there, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. By the way, see, you know, there's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus is called God. It's everywhere. Here's one. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now look at, this is in reference to Christ. Thou hast loved righteousness, he loved to right, and hated iniquity, rejected the wrong. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He had the power of God. He was anointed with the power of God. Well, he was Jesus, God in the flesh. I know, but he hated that which was wrong, and he loved that which is right. How come we do the opposite? I'm going to tell you why. Because our flesh likes it. Not just your flesh. My flesh likes it. Okay? And that's just how it is. But we have to fight it. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, if we're going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, we have to dislike, hate, and reject that which is wrong. Say, how do you determine which is wrong? What is wrong? Did God say it's wrong? Yeah, if he said it's wrong, I'm in. Okay? And we have to love that which is right. How do you determine what is right? Here we go. I think you picked it up by now. If God says it's right, it's right. Now, here's the question. Where are you going to be, ask yourself, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now? I hope you would say, you know, by the grace of God, I'm going to be serving God, faithful in church, doing the things I'm supposed to be doing, serving God. You know, some people, like, you give them a job, they work on a bus route, or they drive a bus, they work in the nursery, teach Sunday school, and after, I don't want to do that anymore. I've been doing this already. Well, wait a minute. What are we going to get out of that for? Let's just keep going. Well, you know, I used to go soul winning, but I got over that. Okay. You know, I used to come to every service, but, you know, sometimes I come and sometimes I don't. Okay, you out through that. No, let's be finishers. Let's do what we're supposed to do. By the way, if we're committed to do what we're supposed to do each and every day, 30 years from now, we'll look back and say, we're still doing it. What, the average church member lasts 7 years. 7 years. That's kind of sad. I think God deserves more, you know, than somebody that flames out. Well, I've just burned out. Well, the only reason you burn out is because you don't have any oil. The only reason you don't have any oil is you're not restocking yourself each and every day. Are you going to finish? Or are we going to be a Demas? Paul looked back and said, hey, from the time I got saved to the time I'm ready to meet my maker, I've been faithful. Demas can't say that. Demas probably had to stand before the Lord and be embarrassed that he forsook him. How do you do it? Let's follow Paul's admonition. Let's follow what he said to Timothy, and we can be a finisher. Let's stand this evening, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed.